بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم everyone and welcome to Nutrinary Diaz. I really hope that you have been keeping well and staying safe inshallah. And welcome to yet another episode where we speak about attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially in this blessed month of Ramadan. And inshallah today we'll be discussing a little bit more about the traits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. I'm not alone on this episode. I actually have Ustazah Shariati with me. Assalamu alaikum Ustazah.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm Ustazah Shariati Sulaiman. I think I know Ustazah Hidayah from a couple of years ago. I've been teaching Islam for about 10 years now. So I'm very happy to be here in the morning where my kids are all in school. So I work around my children's schedules and Allah has been making it easy for me to do this lah. Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, today we will discuss about how we are able to become those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. I think we always talk about, oh, I want Allah to love me.
Yeah.
I want to be the person that is loved by Allah. But we rarely talk about why is it important to be Zeus. So maybe you can shed a little bit of light on that.
A lot of sisters tell me that, you know, they come for class because they want to get close to Allah. They wear the hijab because they want to get close. A lot of reasons why we do things are because we want to get close to Allah. We want to feel that closeness and love. I believe this is fitrah because we were all born to know Allah. We were all born to acknowledge that Allah is our Lord, our Creator, our Master. So as we go along navigating life, we miss that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a time where we don't know anyone else except Allah. As a human being, there is already a connection. A human being would want to call out to God. Even if they did not specifically have a religion, in times of extreme hardship, they will call out to God. And I've heard stories of how people have come into Islam calling out to God when they didn't know who is God. One of the things that we want to do is to be loved by Allah, loved by our Creator, the one who has lovingly put us here on earth. To feel that love is unlike the love of human being. It's essential for the soul to have the love of Allah and to have the love of those around them who love Allah as well. So if we need to eat food for nutrition and all, the love of Allah actually fuels our soul and the purpose of our lives, to live as servants of Allah.
I love the part where you said about we are born to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that really goes back to our purpose of creation lah, and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way. You also mentioned about the love of human being is not like that of the love of Allah. For me, there's two perspectives to that. Number one being that, as you mentioned earlier, you know, accessing that sweetness of the love of Allah, unlike, you know, the love that you experience with other people. But I really, really do believe that the love of Allah is not one that will hurt you. Unlike, you know, when you love a human being, it's only human, it's only natural to get hurt, to be disappointed. But the love of Allah continues to fuel you. It continues to strengthen you, and it will never hurt you.
Sometimes I ask people, why do you want Allah to love you? So there are various reasons why people seek this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, there are benefits for the human being, for the slave, when they actually do fully believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah loves them back. It really does make life easier for the slave who is a believer and loves Allah, and Allah loves them back. And there is a hadith, actually a hadith Qudsi. Prophet tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant continues to draw near to me with nafil deeds, extra deeds, until I love him. I am his hearing with which he hears, and his sight with which he sees, and his hand with which he strikes, and his foot with which he walks. So it is like Allah is with you everywhere you go. When Allah loves you, Allah is right there paying attention to you, taking care of you in ways that nobody can. Nobody can look out for you like Allah looks out for you. Nobody can empower your hands to do work like Allah can. It's like Allah is right there protecting, loving, and taking care of you when Allah loves you and you love him back. The more people find out about Allah's love, the more they want it, because there are benefits. And Allah says, if he were to ask something of me, I would surely give it to him. And this is like, my du'as are being answered. And when we understand how Allah answers du'a, we will start to see the blessing of du'as being answered. Subhanallah. And this is felt only by people who love Allah. Because they will start to look out for things that show them Allah's love.
MashaAllah, it really changes your perspective to life. On one end, it's seeing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you through every life's experience. On the other hand, it's realizing that as long as Allah gives me the opportunity to make dua, I know that I'm already loved. And what's coming for me will always be from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps we can take a look at, you know, the many traits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. of course, through the hadith as well, about the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves.
Okay, in the Quran, there are many mentions about Allah loves this character. Allah loves this character. It is scattered around in the Quran about how Allah is loving different groups of people who have different traits. I'm sure in the Quran, when you read, find like what is it about me that Allah loves and use that to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves people who constantly repent and people who are constantly purifying themselves. This is in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah. Inna Allah yuhibbut tawwabin wa yuhibbul mutatahirin. We sin a lot. Sometimes because we sin a lot, we feel like we are unworthy already for Allah to love us or to deserve good things or to marry a good person. Allah is telling us that yeah, you will make mistakes, but you come back. You make effort not to do the mistakes again. You make effort to better yourselves, and Allah loves it. We will make mistakes, and again, and again, and again. It's a constant thing. And when we make mistakes, we make tawbah. This is the beautiful thing that Allah is not going to condemn you for coming back with sin. Because Allah is gracious and merciful. Allah will accept and cleanse you. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also said that every son of Adam commits sin. This is like, don't need to feel so proud that, oh, I'm like, I've reached this level already. I don't, like, what is tawbah? I don't need to tawbah. Like, that is, cannot, okay? Because every son of Adam is a sinner, and the best of those who sin are those who repent.
You mentioned about, you know, sometimes we feel that we are undeserving of the love of Allah. But if you think about it, Allah created your nature to be sinning. And that sin enables you to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't that also mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you to be the person that Allah loves? Just that we need to realize that in different aspects of our lives, and always, you know, track back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever we falter, whenever we struggle with the sin. May Allah make us among those who repent and those who constantly purify themselves.
Among other things, Allah loves the doers of good deed. And in Ramadan, I feel like doing good deeds become much easier, and we become much more intentional when we do things. There's this misconception that you cannot expect anything at all. Like, you cannot expect anything. You cannot ask people to dua for you. You cannot, like, you don't expect anything even from Allah. But I don't believe that is the way to go. It's when we are expecting from Allah, we are actually believing in Allah's promises towards us, this reward system. By hoping in Allah, by expecting only from Allah, it is part of ikhlas. It is part of doing things with ihsan. Because we know Allah is looking at us. There are some things that we have been doing and we're not thinking about that are actually good deeds. I think it's important that when we do these things, we just always make intention that we are doing this for Allah, because Allah loves it. And the good deeds may not just be the fasting, praying, tarawih, tahajjud, sahur. It's not just that. It's how you are with your neighbors, how you talk to your co-workers, how you smile at people. In the Quran, it expands to touch on certain good deeds that Allah loves. One is to spend in the cause of Allah in ease or in hardship. Donating, spending on your family. When we spend for ourselves, medication. When we spend for to put food on the table for our children, our families. When we buy something to make our mother-in-law happy. These are also spendings in times of difficulty where we have little and we are struggling to make ends meet, but still we have that thought of, hey, I want to do something for somebody else for the sake of Allah. And then to restrain anger. It is a good deed to restrain anger. It's not just being patient, but when you are angry and you are holding your tongue, you are holding your hands, trying to control what you say, it is a good deed. These things can change the outcome of that anger. Because if you're not angry, then you would not have this opportunity to do this good deed. You get what I mean?
Yeah. Especially in Ramadan, I think we experience a lot of that as well. Like, we practice inni so'imu, you know, fasting, to actually restrain anger, to restrain the things in which that could potentially hurt other people. But in turn, we are actually on that path towards pleasing Allah and attaining the love of Allah. I think it really changes your perspective. When we are placed in a situation where it makes us feel angry, we feel like, you know, oh, this person is challenging, this person is difficult, you know, I'm experiencing a difficult time of my life. But to actually take a step back and realize that, hey, I'm actually on the path towards attaining to love of Allah. Allah wants me to be loved by Him. And then He puts me in this kind of situation. It really, really changes the way you see things.
It is much easier for you to diffuse the anger because at the end of the day, it's what Allah thinks of me.
Yeah.
So there are some things that you will let go because it's not worth the anger. It's not worth the fight. Allah sees and it is enough for me.
Mm-mm.
Controlling your anger is not a weakness. It is actually a strength because not a lot of people can do that.
It takes a lot out of you.
It takes a lot. So you can be like turning red, but...
Breathe.
I will not speak anything unless it's something approved by Allah. So I, you know, maybe take wudu and stuff just to step away from that environment and to come back calmer and not harmful to others.
Yeah.
Not just to control the anger, but being able to pardon people.
Mashallah.
These things that are listed, spending for the sake of Allah, whether you're in terms of ease or difficulty, means no matter what we spend for Allah, number two is controlling anger, and number three is to forgive others.
Mashallah.
Yeah.
Even though closure.
Yeah, closure. Mm. So you let it, you know, when you forgive others, you just, okay, like, it's okay. I let it go. You release the anger and you also input some love because it takes love to forgive others.
Yeah.
You know, and it is a form of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are able to forgive others. Yeah.
If Allah were to stop at just restrain anger, I think we need a lot of inner work. Because everything is like stuck.
Where do we go with this?
Yeah. But then you mentioned about how Allah loves those who pardon other people. And then that is where we release it, we let it go, we clear all that is stuck within us so that we can move forward. At the end of the day, I don't forgive you because of you, I don't forgive you because of myself, I forgive you because of Allah. And that's the best reason that I can possibly hold on to when it comes to forgiveness. It does take time.
It takes time.
But take as long as you need, but hopefully we ask Allah to guide us and assist us to reach to that point of pardoning people because at the end of the day, we do want Allah to pardon us, right? The idea of ihsan, right? Excellence. It's always trying to do our best in everything that we do. And I think maybe from the perspective of people that might not be seen as much. Because what people see you doing unnecessarily come from a point where, oh, she's actually trying her best. I have met a lot of mothers who ask questions like, how do I be, you know, that perfect mother and perfect daughter and perfect wife and a perfect, you know, community member that people are constantly expecting of me? It's realizing that perfection, well, it is something that is expected out of people, but it is not expected out of Allah. And the question will always be, who am I doing this for? And if I were to even live up to the expectations of people, will they, you know, appreciate all of the effort that I've put in compared to the appreciation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can possibly, you know, view out of me.
Yeah. Sometimes people don't even know that you're trying your best.
Yeah.
You don't know. Allah knows, and when you do things with ihsan, you know that Allah is there and Allah is watching you. Strive for Allah. If you are imperfect in any way, it's the effort that struggle is the one that Allah is taking in consideration and counting. To do all those that I've mentioned earlier, like to do tawbah, to make effort, to spend for Allah, to restrain anger, to forgive, all of these would be easier if we had this one particular trait, and it's patience.
Inshallah.
Allah doesn't just love people who are patient and steadfast and firm in their practice and beliefs and values, but Allah is with them. So in Allah ma'as sabirin and in Allah yuhibbus sabirin. Allah is with the patient, Allah loves the patient. It takes patience, because if you don't have patience, you would just I give up. It's too much. It's not just to be okay with being bullied. It's not like I'm okay if they step on me. No, it's not that. It's holding on to your values despite being stepped on. It's holding on to your faith even though it's extremely difficult and sometimes embarrassing to do certain things because we are, you know, upholding a certain lifestyle. There are different types of places where we exercise patience. One is when we're doing the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us Ramadan to be patient. A lot of people, I think, they misunderstand that patience is being okay with everything. It's not. Number two is to be patient with preventing ourselves from doing what Allah prohibits. It takes a lot of restraint, especially when we are in a community where everybody thinks it's okay to do certain things, but as a Muslim, these are non-negotiables and we cannot transgress this boundary that Allah has placed for us. The reason why we control ourselves from indulging in things that we're not supposed to is purely because of faith. in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for anything else. And this takes patience to restrain yourself when everybody you know is there and everybody thinks it's okay, but it's not okay to Allah. It shouldn't be okay to us. And the third kind of patience is when you are tested with challenges and adversities. When you're hit by a calamity, when you lose people you love, when you've been applying for 100 jobs, sending out resumes and you don't get a reply. These are tests that Allah gives to us to experience in life to strengthen us, so that we continue to put our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which brings me to this last characteristic that I want to mention is to have taqwa. Allah loves people who have taqwa. And taqwa is that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that fear of displeasuring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the hope for love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like a balance that keeps us grounded and we don't feel so lost when we are experiencing adversities. Aware, it's not just a physical thing, it's your whole heart is beating Allah, like Allah, Allah, Allah. So for us to have taqwa, we have to constantly do all the other things that Allah loves.
You may view what Allah loves individually, like macam a la carte, but you begin to realize that as you work on it individually, it actually adds up. Life's a journey and we all need all of these traits to help us go through this journey, inshallah. This is not the only traits that Allah loves. There is so much more in the Quran, in the hadith that we can actually explore. But alhamdulillah, I think we have quite covered all things that we want to discuss today. I do have two more questions for you, if that is okay. So the first one is, do you have like a quote, a hadith, a prophet or a Quranic verse that you hold on to, that when you go through difficult times, you always remind yourself of that?
Actually, I do. Oh no, it's so emo. I really love to go back to Surah Ad-Duha. It talks about a lot of different challenges that human beings go through, like not having people around you, feeling lost, not having money. These are dunya things. But Allah tells the Prophet that you were once like this and I made you like this. You were like this and I gave you this. You were lost and I found you. So I feel like these issues, they will come up, they will resurface as life goes on. Go back to this surah and you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed his love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by reminding him, didn't I find you lost and I guided you, and you were poor, I made you rich, I didn't leave you, you know. So this surah really, really reminds me that Allah knows the difficulties I'm going through and Allah will bring me out of it, just like how Allah did for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for everyone, I believe so. So the reason why I'm able to do whatever I'm able to do right now, if I think about it, definitely I cannot do it on my own. It's not me. It's really Allah empowering me. And I remember when I was a young mother, I just gave birth. I was still doing my degree. And I took the last exam while I was in the confinement period. And it was extremely difficult because, you know, your baby is your alarm clock and it just doesn't stop ringing. And at night, you know, like, when do I study? But alhamdulillah, I graduated and I did well, alhamdulillah. And if I think back, like, how did I do it? Like, it's impossible to do everything. And I realized that, why do I think I did it?
Mm-mm.
It's not me. It's Allah empowering me. So this surah really, really speaks to me lah.
You know, as dramatic as life can be, the one that continues to help us and steer us in all of these processes is actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah.
I think Allah knows we need the drama so we can remember stuff.
It's always a highlight, it's of highlight, things, right? MashaAllah. So thank you so much for sharing that. Last question for you today is, if you can share a message to all of the listeners, what would that be?
When you're on this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as much as it is sweet, it feels very nice to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It feels, it's out of this world to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you will lose friends, people who may not agree with your change, but know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace the things you lost with definitely better things because you're doing it for Allah. So when you feel a bit low because you've started to make the hijrah and your lifestyle is not the same anymore, which means your circle of friends or family members who you used to be close to are not there anymore, just hold on. Allah will send you people who loves you just the way you are right now.
MashaAllah, beautiful. And I really love that, something that is comforting for those who are on their journey to attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the end of the day, you're going to go to the right places, you're going to meet the right people, and you're going to engage in conversations that will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala each day, inshallah. So alhamdulillah, we have come to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge and wisdom.
Thank you. Together with us. Thank you for listening.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, I hope that this Ramadan episodes will continue to benefit you. And if in any way you feel like it's something that is positive, you have taken away some learning points, do share with us. Mm-hmm. Inshallah, we'd love to know that you are learning from our sharing, inshallah. Mm-hmm. So, alhamdulillah. Take care, everyone. Hope for you to tune in into the next one. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.